isn't your typical motorsports podcast. You're listening to Crush This, a monster truck podcast presented by High Octane Coffee and J Concepts, a show where we take you inside the minds of your favorite drivers, past and present, of the monster truck industry. And now, your hosts, Brad Shaw and Dan Cheechagosh. Buckle in. The show starts now.
Really? Really? You're going to start off like
yeah,
this?
Yeah, really. Yeah.
You're going to start off with eighth. Okay. Okay. This isn't cool because I swear to God that somebody's messing with me because it's the last week of my 20s. I have three more days of my 20s and everything's just going wrong.
I thought that was a profile picture for you trying out to be the Blink-182 drummer.
Dude, I wish. I'm not as good as Travis Barker, dude, okay? That I've seen him live. That dude's a master at his drums. But welcome, everybody, to a brand new episode of Crush This Monster Truck Podcast. My name is Brad Shaw, also known as the Monster Truck Canucker. And beside me, all the way over in Champaign, Illinois, Rentoul, Illinois, wherever he lives, is Dan Cheechagosh. Dan, how you doing, buddy?
Don't be jumping conclusions. We're still talking about this. You need to calm down, mister. We're doing all right here. You need to take a chill pill, take a break. I'm sorry that your computer doesn't like you. So, you know, everything's okay, mister. Hey, in the last episode, we were with Mr. Scott Buto. Hey, what's going on? Hey, not much, blah, blah. He went to the story and just skips me out. You know, yeah, mister. Too excited. Too sweet. Anyway, I'm doing good. Getting ready for next week. Yes, next week we will be at Corbin, Kentucky. Shout out to Mike Wine. He was in the Scott Douglas podcast, and he gave little Cheechers a little shout out, but he will be helping out also. Outside of that, I was going to actually start off with a picture. I'm not going to lie, Brad. I was going to start off with the picture of your F-150. As the main screen while went off the back of the thing. So you are pretty soon going to turn 30.
Yep.
The Mr. Big 30. And you got a gift, which was going to be the beginning portion, but you deleted it because, you know, you're not cool. There he is. Nice, cool. There it is. Yep. 05 F-150. And it's not like that right now. I think it's a little bit better than it was. It's not like that thing right there. See, little Bigfoot got a new one right there. If anyone can guess what truck that is, it's pretty easy. It's on the billboards.
Well, I will say this. The truck is definitely an upgrade from what I drive now. Right now, I currently drive an 02 Pontiac Grand Am, nicknamed Jean-Claude, because Jean-Claude Van Damme, Jean-Claude Grand Am. My dad named it, so I didn't have any input in the name. I don't even know what I'm going to call the F-150. Maybe the F1 shitty. I don't know. But, you know, if you guys have any ideas, let me know. I'm thinking maybe,
F-130.
Oh, F-130. Isn't it where when you turn 30, everything just goes downhill from there?
I think after high school, everything went downhill. After college. I think everything went downhill after college, I pretty much think of. But, I mean, hey, it's another chapter, another page.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's crazy to think about, you know, you reach 30, but it's also crazy to think about how, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but, you know, you lose, how actually tough it is that you reach that age. There's a lot of people that out high school that didn't make it. So, anyway, on the brighter side of things, it's pretty cool to reach that level. So, Eat as much cake. Can you eat 30 pieces of the cake?
I'm not a cake guy. Believe it or not, I'm not a cake guy. I'm not the biggest fan, unless if it's Dairy Queen ice cream cake. If anything for like that, I'm more of like a, well, cheesecake. I like cheesecake, but like regular like Black Forest cake or chocolate cake, I can't do it.
Well, maybe my dad said maybe you need an eggnog cake.
Oh God, no. Nightmares.
Nightmares. It's going to be that way to go. But once again, guys, thank you for Joey Sylvester and High Octane Coffee.
Yep.
Yeah, if you take a look at he's starting up his Outlaw Monster Truck League. News that we are going to be at Canfield, Ohio with Samson and his truck, and two more going to be there. So lookout that's been released on social media. So we'll be in Canfield, Ohio, July 3rd. So that's going to be pretty cool to go. J Concepts, we saw them, Jason and Fred, you know, they were there at the Jason and Lonnie Childress's Racing, Childress's RC Racing group show two days ago. I was there. It was a pretty cool time. A lot of people, a lot of prizes. I finally got my banner and a Monster Truck Racing Team t-shirt. Thank you. Which is a cool thing because they are going to be our guests next week. Jason Reno, Fred Reap from J Concepts. We're going to talk a little bit of some RC solid monster trucks. People may not know that Fred owns the legendary Bigfoot 4. Mm-hmm. So Lonnie and Jason Childress are right now working on that and building the truck and putting it together. Speaking about legendary trucks, its younger brother, Bigfoot 8, was some surprise photos have been released. And it's going to be pretty cool to see that. And there was also some photos that were released by J Concepts showing Bigfoot 4. So both Bigfoot 4 and Bigfoot 8 are going to be sporting the legendary brick nose Ford body trucks, which is going to be pretty freaking awesome. Because if you're a monster truck fan, those two trucks are pretty much the badasses of the monster truck world outside of Privateers 3, Gravedigger 7. Every truck has their badasses, but Bigfoot has two of them. So that's pretty cool, right, Brad? How you think? What do you think about that?
Dude, the two most iconic Bigfoot trucks being restored at the same time. Like, who would have thought in, you know, the 2020 and 2021 that this would be happening, going with that body style, which I think is one of the sexiest Ford trucks ever. Like, dude, I am stoked beyond belief, and I'm excited to see it. When I saw Rebecca Chanel's post on Instagram earlier today, I was like, oh my God, I am hype.
Yes, it's going to be pretty cool to see. So that's going to be pretty cool to talk about with Jason and Fred, which I guess we got some people wanting to know about my weekend. So I'm going to go ahead and talk about a little bit of my weekend here, Brad.
Yeah, go ahead.
I debuted my retro. I have a Big Boss. That's going to be some little works and stuff like that. I'm going to have a second truck coming out with it. A gentleman named Chris Lane, which is a up-and-coming RC guy. He's learning and stuff like that. He owns a truck called Changing Gears. Got him to run my Carolina Crusher. And I drove John Arnold, one of our sponsors, the owner and owner, half-owner, co-owner, CEO, whatever, of JB Scale Graphics. Let me take the controls of his Bigfoot 10 truck. And made it to, I believe, the semis in straight line racing, but didn't do very well in Andy Round. Big Boss handled itself pretty good. With Bigfoot 10, I have to say I did take out the Boss of J Concepts in one round, but that was from technicality. I don't think it really was a fair, but hey, win some, lose some, it doesn't matter. Winning's winning. So we went ahead and did some roundy round. Executioner did pretty good, made it to the corner finals in both rounds, but there were some prizes. Shout out to Josh Rhodes. He was on last week. He did very well. Got top qualifier. Won with Bigfoot 4 in straight line and retro. Jeremy Mark. He does a lot of the tourist trucks, which is pretty cool to watch. Take a look at that one. And also Chris Parrish, who was one of our guests. He also gets on there too. So right now, that was a pretty cool weekend. But let's continue on with some – you got something to say here, Brad? I was going to continue with the sponsors.
Just quickly before you get to the sponsors, I want to do a little bit of news here. As for the people that are interested in the drag racing podcast, plans – I'm working on a big plan right now for that. It's going to be really cool. Kind of tell you guys just a smidgen. We're going to be talking about the 1990s of NHRA. I got Brian Lowen's going to be coming on the first episode of that. We're not forgetting about the drag racing fans, but, you know, it's being planned. So it's coming, guys.
That's pretty cool. You know, and also we're going to talk about One of our sponsors, Back Channel Productions. He does the Renegade Monster Truck Tour, and some of the, and pretty soon he's going to be at Kentucky for the Monsters of Destruction. February 16th, mark that to your calendar. He is putting a video up, and that video is going to be our next roundtable. I know we last did roundtable of Penna. The point series over there, the special events, but this time we went to a different branch. Now there's going to be another repeat person in the round table, and that's Mr. Dan Patrick. This is going to be USA Motorsports. We're going to talk about the USA Motorsports years, and our guest on the round table is going to be Tim Hall, David Morris, Dan Patrick, and Lonnie Childress. Tim drove the Executioner for some of it. He was the one that was part of the famous rollover in 97 at Des Moines, Iowa, when he rolled over on that trunk, and he was the very first race again and did the rollover. But and then you have David Morris. He was the 97 USA Motorsports champion. Was kind of his big hoorah before he kind of was, you know, letting, you know, about to sell the team out. Dan Patrick, he's been with USA Motorsports from pretty much the beginning with his pulling days, driving, you know, the Samson to the Keystone Beer Crusher, the Coors Light, all the way to American Gladiator and Samson. He's been through USA. And then Lonnie Childress, he drove both Snakebite and Bigfoot for USA. He was the main pilot for the Bigfoot team for USA until the late 90s. But each of these guys have done something with the sport. They probably know a lot that's going on. So on February 16th, put that on your calendar. We're going to probably do a teaser video for that for you guys. But that is going to be the show for the USA Motorsports Roundtable that is presented by J Concepts, High Octane Coffee, and Back Channel Productions. Also, we're going to let you know that 6B Apparel, Brad fixes his microphone, but he is going to model for us 1 second. Brad! There we go. See, there's our crew shirt right there. And, you know, you can get that in the OG one for $100 a pop. Contact me or Brad, and then we'll contact Chris from 6B. We'll get him on one episode. I think we're going to start getting some of the episodes on with some of the people that we have dealt with, our sponsors and stuff like that. Another thing is JB Scale Graphics. John and Bex over there near Waterpool, Illinois, near St. Louis, have done a tremendous job on RC decals, wraps. BJ's saying, I need a haircut. You're probably right, but it's cold out. So, you know, it's pretty cool to have them on. They do Bigfoot, Obsessed, Against the Grain, Bad Habit, and many more. Go check them out if you want to get yourself your own little 10th scale or Traxxas X-Max type decals, Overkill Evolution too. Take a look at that stuff. But right now, I think Brad died. So I'm going to be flying solo. If you guys can see, I got some little cool posters on the wall. If you can name these trucks right up here, try it, maybe get a prize, you know, something like that nature. Those two right here, you guys could probably tell, especially that one BJ knows. Anyway, let me cut this short. So we're going to get our guest on. He's been a Double Down Showdown champion, a world finals competitor, multiple triple threat champion. But he's also cool thing is he's the son of Shane England, the driver of the and owner of the Big Kahuna truck, and just a downright cool cat and down to earth also. So, and he's also it's funny, I guess I need to find a guest who likes the Philadelphia Eagles and the New York Giants. So if anyone's in the monster truck world that likes those two teams, I can handle the whole NFC East division. Because Scott Buta liked the Washington Redskins / football team. Well, this guy, he likes the Dallas Cowboys, and I'll bring him up, and that's Mr. Tristan England. What's going on, man?
Yeah, you just had to do me dirty right off the bat.
I'm just saying, Scott Vuto was on the last show, and he was a Washington football team fan, and I know you're a huge Cowboy fan. And before, since Brad's off here, so we don't miss out on Monster Trucks, let's talk about. I know you're a huge football fan. You know, you're a huge Cowboys fan, and a very emotional year, like every typical football fan. Especially, I was on cloud nine with the Steelers, and then I was down rock bottom at the end of the year. So the Browns is the Browns, you may say. But man, how did you feel about your team this year?
Well, first of all, I blame my dad because, you know, growing up, he's from Arlington originally. So, of course, he's a Cowboys fan, and his dad made him a Cowboys fan. So, of course, I'm a Cowboys fan. And it just, you know, it sucks, but it's your team. It doesn't matter what it is. It's just you got to cheer them on every year. You can't be jumping on that bandwagon, you know. But I've really gotten into it this year. I actually, you know, since we're so bored and have nothing to do, especially monster truck wise, I broke down and got into fantasy and did pretty good. And then Dak got hurt, and that was my fantasy. That was it. It was done.
Yeah, well, Dalton chipped in a little bit better than before. You know, he helped out with the team, and you had some good games. You guys won some good games and was actually pushing until, I mean, if you guys would have handled to beat the Giants, and obviously we all know if Philadelphia knew you guys were, if they beat the Washington football team, that you guys were getting, I know dang well they would have sandbagged and let that game lost, because I know those Eagles don't like Cowboys, so.
No.
Yeah, and they also don't like the Giants because they did that to them. They played them dirty too. So, obviously, there's some hate going on in the division, but still, there was a lot of games, I guess, that, you know, Dallas should have won, you know, but they didn't come out in the clutch. But, I mean, I guess, I think Mike McCarthy has something going on. It's just, you know, with the COVID and stuff like that, it didn't really help matters.
Yeah, I feel kind of bad for some of the coaches. I mean, not, I say some just because, you know, they didn't have the regular preseason like they usually do, and nobody got to prep. But if you look back at the Bucks, I mean, I know it's Tom Brady, but they kind of just threw a team together, and they're doing all right.
Oh, yeah, they're in the Super Bowl at their own home stadium, you know. It's freaking crazy to think about that, but we're kind of doing a little bit of the opposite thing right now because we are waiting for Brad, but not a lot of people may know that you work on those giant generator windmills, and maybe help explain to people. I mean, those things are intimidating just, you know, looking at them, but climbing up in them and, you know, coming out of the top of those generators and looking on miles, I mean, that got to be one of the jobs that, you know, you got to have a pretty good stomach, just like how you have to change a cell phone tower light bulb.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's serious business, but it's I guess I decided to go into that field of work just because of the adrenaline that you get from climbing those things and, you know, hanging off the side, having to clean it or, you know, inspect the blade or something like that. And it's the same thing as racing. You know, I love it because of adrenaline. And of course, I love racing because of the fans too. But man, the wind turbine's the next best thing. It just gets me through my day until they give me that phone call saying, "Come on back racing."
So how many windmills do you guys have to go through every day, or is it just one per day, or you know?
It depends on if I'm stationed at a site. Like right now, I'm stationed at a site in Oklahoma, and it's 93 turbines on the site. Those 93 turbines give power to a little over 405,000 homes in the area. And just that site's right there. And then a couple miles down the road, there's another site, and then so on and so on. And I mean, typically sites, they can range from six turbines to, you know, 100 something turbines on a site. So, and sometimes they're all together. So.
So how many do you do for sites. A day?
Typically just two at most. In the past, I've done four or five just to do an oil change to get the job done. You know, try to get out there and move, but typically just two. That's pretty tough, depending on what it is.
I'm just curious myself. That's why I'm asking away about it. So, typical, those generators are, you know, how big are those generators? And obviously, they do have to take oil changes. Are there multiple generators in those fans, or there's just like one giant one?
Well, it's got one huge oil cooler fan, and then it's got, of course, a big coolant fan on the back where the generator is. And then it's got a huge generator and a gearbox on the top. And it actually blades everything, the top, the nacelle. It rotates around. It's called the yaw motors, and there's four of those. And you got to, of course, upkeep those and pitch motors. They're out there. They're the blade motors. You got to check on those. There's three of those. There's so much electrical that goes into all of it. And, I mean, it's no joke. I'm actually training right now. I've got today and tomorrow I have off just to get ready to go to New York to do this training stuff. And it's pretty serious business. I mean, getting into a hot box with 690 volts and down tower, one of the boxes has got like 20,000 volts in it or something. And I mean, that's nothing you want to play with. So
that's crazy, man.
A little living on the edge. It's fun.
That's a great way to stay in shape. So what happens if you're doing a job itself? Like, it seems like they're obviously okay with, you know, with you doing the scheduling and working and doing the first quarter season and stuff like that. So how does that work out?
Honestly, this is a new company that I started with just the end of last year, and just kind of moved my way up through the ranks just recently. And all I did was ask. I said, this is my priority, but if my priority, you know, not helping me out in any way, then I'm here. I mean, 100%. So, I mean, if I could do something, you know, with running a weekend and then driving back and getting back to work on Monday, being a little sore, that's fine with me.
Gotcha. So, I don't know what happened to Brad, but I'm going to continue on with this train. And a lot of people know that your dad owns the Big Kahuna, and you did a lot of wrenching and stuff like that with him. But what was the process of getting yourself into pretty much, I consider you one of the guys that debuted in a truck that is debuted too. I don't know if you drove anything beforehand with the company, but I know Dirt Shaker, when that you debuted, that was a truck you debuted in. And not a lot of drivers can say that and kind of making a name for yourself in that vehicle. So what was the process of you getting into, you know, driving, you know, Earth Shaker?
I mean, I could take you through the first steps of going through everything, man. I was just young, and they offered, since I had a racing background, they were like, hey, send us your resume, man. You got a racing background, and, you know, dad races, and I mean, we could do a second generation thing, of course, with me kicking his butt all the time, but we haven't even lined up yet. That's really irritating. And no, it'd be fun to race him. I mean, we trash talk so much, and it's like, you know, who knows what's going to happen if it ever does. But no, I 2015, I went up to MJU, and before it was MJU, and Tom, he's giving me a hard time, calling me Pee Wee. I mean, I was skin and bones, and looked a little funny. I mean, I'm sure I still look a little funny, but got done with the training, and he's like, all right, we'll give you a call back. And I'm like, man, this is gonna take forever. as soon as I landed, they called me back and were like, hey, can you come back next week? Got a workshop. And I'm like, all right, sweet. So I went back and, I mean, flat out, I couldn't do an interview for anything. So I had the opportunity to be on tour, and then me being, not being able to do an interview, I mean, I wasn't ready. So I guess I just sat out. I was a backup driver, and I mean, it added fuel to the fire, but I understood. I knew my place. Like, you know, I wasn't going to sulk about it. So I just waited on my opportunity and worked on my interview skills. And I mean, here we are today. I did start in El Toro Loco, and I became infamously known as Wally, because I think it was the first round of racing, I did not lift coming around a corner and hit the stands in Providence, Rhode Island. And that was a pretty scary moment. I mean, I just started my dream career pretty much, and it all ended in just a matter of seconds. So, yeah, it turned out to be all good. You know, second chances were given, and I mean, I think it was worth it. The second chance, I mean, looking back, winning the series championships, and you know, you can't replace the memories that we have on the road with the crew guys and the fans and the host, you know, everybody. So, man, it's just been awesome so far, but really hoping to get back behind the wheel sometime soon.
Right on, right on, right on. So you had your little mishap, and they gave you a second chance, and you improved yourself. What was the discussion like of them asking you or saying, hey, we're going to put you in a new identity truck, and, you know, obviously you're excited, but did you kind of know what scenario you're going to be put in?
Absolutely not. I mean, I guess I've never really kind of looked at it as I debuted a truck, and, you know, I kind of put a name to it, I guess. And then, of course, my buddy Steven Thompson stepped in, and he's part of the Earthshaker team. And then, of course, that crazy guy across the pond, Peter Nyman. He's a cool cat. He on the Earthshaker team. But no, it was a weird feeling that they were like, hey, we're just going to give you this brand new identity, and we want you to just do something with it. And oddly enough, we got the invite to World Finals and the Double Down Showdown, and crazy enough, we won. That was weird because I'll tell the story all the time about Brandon Fiersdorf. He's my crew guy at the time, and we would sing to each other because I was so nervous in the staging lane. Like, just going up there, it's like you watch that stuff on TV, or, you know, like Dad, he used to crew for David Smith, you know, back in the day, and he'd bring me to World Finals, and I'd just sit there and watch, and it's crazy to know that you were in that staging lane, you know, you're sitting there, and that tree's about to drop, and you got to do something. So, it was a crazy experience, and I'm just really blessed of all the ups and all the downs that happened, because if not, then I wouldn't be the person I am today, you know, decorated wise.
Right, right. And speak about the decorations that you have, because, you know, that triple threat that you guys are in, East, Central, you know, West, it's nonstop action. And with, you know, some trucks trying to do the stoppies and, you know, the nose wheelies, you and a couple others are pretty good at that, with the balancing act and stuff. So when you started seeing that, we're going to talk about the nose wheelies. When you started seeing that and talked to people about it and heard about it, how soon did you want to do that move and try to master that move as quickly as possible? Because, Everyone, a lot of people know that, you know, the evolution of monster trucks doesn't wait. It just keeps on going and going and going and going. And what was your mindset, mentality of trying to get that move down?
I'm trying to think if it was 2016 when Ryan, I know Cody, you know, he perfected the stoppie, and then I don't know if it was 2016, Ryan just decided to throw that thing in reverse. And, you know, I'm pretty sure I was watching it with Tyler, Meninga, that one guy, and probably Colton. We were all sitting there watching it, and I'm like, you know, in my head, I'm like, dang, these guys are about to try it. I was like, I just really want to go out there and kick some ass. Like, you know, those guys, they wear the MaxD name, they wear the Gravedigger name. And I was like, I just want to, you know, be somebody else. I don't want to be that guy that, you know, represents those names and they're already good. You know, I want to be that underdog guy. So, or the blue collar worker, the construction worker.
Yeah, in the field. But we got Brad here on, so we're going to pop him in right now.
I swear to God, something is happening this last week of my 20s. I swear to God.
It's crazy. We're right now to catch you up. Right now, we talked a little bit about football, which you don't like. And then right now, we just fast forward to mastering the stoppies. And we talked about a little bit of the stories on how he got behind the wheel of Earthshaker. So that's about it, guys. Good night.
I missed the inside.
Yeah, so if you have a question right now, Brad, go right ahead. I have the viewers, if they want to ask any questions to Tristan about anything, so they're more welcome to.
So my question is, you know, with your dad, you know, having the monster truck and you growing up kind of around that, you know, what were some of the you know, being around him working on the truck, did that help you transition into being a driver easily?
It did. I already had a driving background doing like late models or modifies and sport mods, because that's what dad, you know, kind of, well, we started with ATVs and then got into motocross, and then we started with dirt track racing, and then dad, you know, his childhood dream was driving monster trucks, so he just went out and bought a truck and decided to start running. And I mean, he had a big kahuna name from the beginning. I mean, it's been his nickname for a long time, as long as I can remember. Just having the truck, you know, at the shop and learning all the knowledge that you can about just one truck. I mean, everything internally, how the gears work and everything like that. I mean, just learning at a young age and then taking that to now. And, you know, some of us drivers, we do the simulator and things like that. And it's just using your brain and, you know, simple physics to learn how these trucks work, to learn what I could do to, you know, beat Gravedigger or, you know, a new trick that somebody hasn't done yet, you know, something like that. And we've had like almost a whole year now to work on something. So I'm eager to see somebody else try something different. I'm eager to try something different when I get behind the wheel. I don't know when that's going to be. I'm waiting. And I'm also waiting to see what Ryan does, because Ryan's crazy and he's about to come back. So who knows?
Well, like, you know, you mentioned that you were doing, you know, modified racing and some dirt racing and stuff like that. You know, talk about how stuff like that has helped you, you know, with throttle control, especially in the corners, having to, you know, feather the throttle and not spin out. Did that, any of that kind of help you, you know, in your, you know, when you're driving a monster truck? Because I know with a lot of the drivers in Monster Jam, especially a lot of the younger generation, you know, there's ATV racers. Camden Murphy does NASCAR. So a lot of drivers these days are kind of coming from different backgrounds. So does that help any of them at all? Like yourself in coming from modifieds?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, learn how to, you know, turn right, go left is, you know, it's difficult, especially if you got a lot of momentum going to a turn. It's just, I mean, you got to throw it in there and to learn. So, I mean, it's literally the same thing in a truck, even though it's 12,000 pounds, 10,000 pounds, you know, whatever. It's art for sure. I mean, you join a big truck into a corner and trying to counter steer. Maybe you're using a rooster as well, and it's just, it's all driver.
So another thing is the trucks themselves right now are getting into the EFI stuff. And I know your dad was one of the first guys to run that type of motor in a monster truck. When they put those motors in the truck that you're running on, did you have a little bit of familiarity with those motors and maybe gave some feedback? I know the one show that we were at in South Dakota was not a fun weekend for you. I think you only ran like maybe half a show, and then the rest of it you were out for the whole weekend. Just from basically, let's just say, a 25-cent piece ruined your whole weekend. When, on the other hand, if it was regular fuel and regular injective like the rest of the guys there, independent wise, you would have been okay. So, I mean, outside of that, when they first brought those motors in, like I said, did you have any feedback because of the familiarity of what your dad had?
I had some feedback, and it's because my dad finally, he'd finally figured it out. And, you know, I had a couple things to say about it, to some of the guys at the shop, and then the whole spiel of South Dakota was terrible because they sent a truck that I wasn't familiar with, which is not a problem by any means. Just throw the seed and let me figure it out. But, it was just nobody knew anything really about Holly and I. And sometimes we had a Holly guy come out to a show just to, you know, calibrate everything, make sure all the programs were right. And, I mean, it's always a hit or miss. I mean, my dad had an issue with what he thought was Holly EFI, and it was the radio that failed. It ran, made a run. So he wasn't able to do, like, freestyles that year. So, I mean, it was rough. And it's just all electrical. So,
you know,
you really got to be on, you know, you got to be on doing all that kind of stuff, and you got to know your stuff. So,
you know, one thing that I think is unique, especially with, you know, the current generation of Monster Jam, you know, with the Triple Threats or the More Monster Jam Tour when it was called back then, is the camaraderie between a lot of the drivers. Because, you know, you come into a lot of those arena tours, you know, and it's younger people. You know, you don't really have like a seasoned veteran. What's the camaraderie like between all you guys? You know, is it friendly competition, or is it like, you know, certain weekends you guys just wanted to try to, you know, get as many wins as you can? Like, I kicked your ass this weekend. Or is it kind of more like friendly kind of stuff?
It really just depends on who you catch on it which day, because it's like sometimes we care, sometimes we don't, sometimes we're just out there having fun like we're supposed to be doing, you know. But sometimes you get a chip on your shoulder and you're like, man, I just want to show these people, you know, how it's done. You know, I want to show them, you know, what I could do different than the other guy that went out there and just did a stupid moonwalk for, you know, 30 seconds, which I'm guilty of doing. But, I mean, just going out there trying to prove somebody else wrong, that's my favorite thing to do, I guess.
Right. And so you have some success, a lot of success in the arena tour, and you also had some in Vegas. Now, you go over and you go from arenas to basically the stadium. And how did you get mentally prepared during your? Let's go back to your first time in 2000. I think what 16 or 17? I think it's 17. You won Double Down Showdown, and how did you get ready and prep yourself for a bigger, pretty much a stadium show when you're running throughout the whole season in arenas?
I really didn't know how to prepare for something like that. I tried to just, you know, hang my dad and, you know, his, you know, witty jokes. He'll kind of keep me calm, you know. He's a goofy guy. So but now and then talking to, like, BJ Johnson, he really helped me kind of get in the zone there. He's kind of helped me out trying to get through the cage. And then, you know, people like Kostasi that, you know, just help out along the way. If you got a question, somebody, you know, somebody's going to help you out. So, I mean, nobody really wants to see you fail. You know, it's all really a big family. But, yeah, we do, when we put those helmets on, it's do or die. Like, I'm going to try to win. So, yeah, I think that's how everybody is. I mean, everybody wants to see everybody be successful. Just those helmets come along with a different story.
You know, how tricky was that chicane? Because, you know, we've seen Adam Anderson when he was in Taz kind of trip up and hit that tree. You know, other drivers, it seems like it's always been that tricky spot of the track besides, you know, the last corner. What did you find easiest for you to be able to get it through that chicane?
Well, after a pinball trip, probably three times, the very first time we were up there doing a double down, and man, it's tricky because in your instincts, you're trying to get through the chicane and you're going to oversteer so bad. And that's what I was telling you, BJ Johnson, he told me, like, calm down. He got in the cab, got in my face, and he's like, you need to calm down, you need to just go through the motions, go slower with the steering, don't jerk it, you know, don't oversteer, because that's why I was in the, you know, in the wall or spinning out, coming out of the chain, or, you know, something like that. And then after that, you know, it was my deal. So I had to take care of the turn. So,
I think he's losing service.
My dad told me something. Right before the main event.
I think you're losing the service here and there a little bit there, Tristan. I think we lost him.
Ah, man.
I hear
you. Oh, there you are. For some he reason, it's very spotty.
He's in Oklahoma.
That's why.
No, I'm at home, man.
Oh.
No, he's in Texas. Oh, I thought you were in Oklahoma.
I was yesterday, and then got to get stuff together. I just got this new pickup, and got to get some stuff hashed out on it, and I can leave for New York.
Gotcha. So, you know, we're fast-forwarding it. This, what have you been doing since COVID hit up? Obviously, you explained about the windmills and stuff like that. And did you get back into the modified? Did you get back to a little bit of dirt track racing, or did you just wanted to stay low for a little bit? I know you're a dad. Congratulations on that too.
Man, let me tell you, being a dad is the coolest job ever. But we get off like a 12-hour shift, and I mean, you really have put in the work. You get home and he wants to play. It's like, man, he's gonna get me in shape. So, but no, it's awesome. Actually, in the wind turbine, I mean, it's something that I like to do. I enjoy doing. It's not a bad career path, but nothing's ever gonna beat driving the monster jam truck or monster truck or tinker on trucks. I mean, nothing. So, I mean, I'm waiting to go back. I know dad's got some plans to build a truck, and I can't wait to build it with him in the shop. But two of them, man, I'm working with Herbins, hoping for a phone call to come back to a race, and I'm not holding anything back anymore if I come back.
You're gonna be pinning it full bore. One thing I wanted to bring up with Jonathan Arnold in our chat there brought up was your dad did Truck Night in America. You know, he built Toyota FJ? Yeah,
FJ Cruiser.
Yeah, how did that all come about? You know, and did you help with that build at all? Because I remember watching that show and cheering so loud for your dad on that one.
Oh yeah. Absolutely, it did help, and man, I honestly don't know how he came across to be able to do that, but watching him do like Monster Jam or, you know, any other promoters of shows, and then watching him do that, it was different. I guess you did see him wear a fire suit, and he had the open face helmet, which was hilarious, and it was weird. It was a different atmosphere, and it was actually pretty cool. So, and he was only a couple, I don't even know how many minutes he was off from winning that, but it would have been cool.
You know, and I know that you're into building a lot of trucks. I know I followed you on Instagram and stuff, and you've always had cool looking trucks. You know, what kind of truck do you have now, and you know, what are you planning on doing to it?
Oh man, I hate it because. My dad, he set the seat pretty early. You know, he's always had lifted vehicles. He always likes drinking out. He likes, you know, it's a hobby. It's a lifestyle. I enjoy it. I do have expensive taste. I got the F-350 Platinum, and it is a dually. And I just plan on lifting it maybe like 2.5 inches. Put some 37s on it, some 26s, and delete it, you know, weight reduction kit. That's what they call it nowadays. And do that, you know, get some better fuel mileage out of this thing and pull camper until we go back. That's it, man. Just trying to get by, save enough money just to, I mean, put away for a while and then, man, hopefully we're great by then, and then be living the dream.
Have any toys, like some side-by-sides and stuff like that?
I actually don't. I never had a want to do that, I guess. You know, riding the Razors and getting beat up in them, I really had no care for one. I don't go do a lot of trail rides or anything like that. I literally just come out here to my 100 acres with dad, and if he's home, we'll drink beer together. If not, I'm drinking beer with an old lady, and it's heaven on earth. But being in that camper's not too bad either.
Hey, living on 100 acres, man, that'd be epic. You know, being able to, you know, go do whatever you want and not have to have a care in the world, no neighbors to deal with, no BS.
Yeah, just my parents' neighbors. Yeah, it's great.
Nice. So what type of camper, how big of a camper do you have?
That's a 37-foot. It's a mid-bunk. Sleep nine.
Fifth wheel.
I just want to get something that, you know, I could use in the future. If Crash, you know, if he wanted to bring his friends or, you know, his lady friend when he got older, just get something nice and updated, that way by the time he's older, it's still, you know, in good condition.
It's a fifth wheel, right?
Yes, sir.
Nice.
She's a beaut, Clark.
Right on. You know, it's always cool to have just towing our merchandise trailer is a 40-footer. So that's still a 37-footer. That's still a pretty long haul. For that, for any dually or any, you know, full 1-ton truck, you know, does it have the extensions and stuff like that too? Can it spread out?
Oh yeah, I mean, it's got 1, 2, 3. It's got 5 slide outs. So I mean, she's
about the size of a double wide.
Yeah, everyone did.
You got a mobile double light on your hands.
Nice. I'm going to park that on the slab where we'll build our next house. See how she likes that.
So, you know, besides, you know, you did the dirt racing and the monster trucks, what other forms of racing would you want to do? Would you want to try some short course stuff, some drag racing, some oval, like paved oval? What kind of other racing would you want to do?
I've actually tried. It was just a junior dragster, so I'm sure if, you know, Bryce Kenny threw me in some kind of dragster, it would be more enjoyable. You know, more horsepower, of course, but I was just pretty bored going a straight line, so I was like, man, this is not for me. That's when we got to, you know, modifieds and dirt track racing, and I actually did a sideshow for Monster Jam in Houston back in 2014 or 2015, I can't even remember. It's like the springtime, I believe, and this guy just asked me. I had my fire suit with me, and Dad's hauler. He asked me if I wanted to drive the Legends car. Never driven one before, and he was like, "Yeah, just go out there and get a feel for it." And he said, "Just make it look like a competition." So I got there, and I was enjoying myself. So I tried to actually win. I've never driven one of those before, and you know, coming in second to a guy and. I mean, that guy, he was pretty impressed. He's like, "Hey, how about you come to Texas Motor Speedway next weekend and give it a shot on the asphalt?" And I'm like, "Hell yeah." And got there, and I felt like Ricky Bobby after he came back after, you know, his surgery or whatever. "Could you tell them to slow down?" Because I got to be probably like Camden Murphy. I mean, he kicks butt on dirt, on asphalt. And I'll tell you right now, I cannot kick anybody's butt on asphalt. I mean, it's pretty difficult.
Right.
I mean, they zoomed past me. I mean, I got to follow the line and stuff after that, but it was difficult. It's something you got to sit there and you got to practice. And it was just because I was, you know, known for dirt. I had no business on asphalt. Still don't.
Two completely different monsters. And so where did you finish at the asphalt one?
Do what?
How did you do on the asphalt one? You didn't finish second, I'm guessing.
Oh, heck no. I think I got like 7th out of 9 drivers.
But it was still a cool experience, okay, wasn't they, it?
You know, it was still, you know, past 2010, so they still gave you a participation award, so.
Awesome.
I can just imagine your interview right after, like Ricky Bobby, like, "I don't know what to do with my hands right now. I don't know. Just put them on my side." Well, the car was.
I tried it live, and they don't like that.
Oh God.
Yeah.
I feel like if I did an interview, I would do that. I would try to do that. Pull that trick.
You got to have fun with this stuff, man. If you don't, I mean, you're never going to make it. I mean, you got so many years ahead of you, and you got to enjoy every single one of them. So, and I hadn't really looked on that until, you know, I had my son. So, yeah, it's fun being dad, man, but there's so many things that are wrong in this world, and it's kind of scary, you know?
Speak about that, you know, but, being a dad and stuff, what is your son kind of like enjoying what daddy does behind the wheel of a monster truck, or when you get home, it's you have to play a different game?
Actually, I've bought him only the kind of toys and air sugar toys, so kind of, you know, brainwash him early. You know, we're not playing with green truck. Yeah, hopefully not for a while. We did buy the little Megalodon remote control, the one that drives on water. That thing's pretty sweet. He loves that thing. I mean, he's only one, and he can grab the controller and just hit it. He doesn't know what he's doing. But it's pretty funny to watch. And then if you get after him with it, he'll chase it. And it's just cute, man.
And you introduce him to a blue truck? Are you going to try to introduce him to a blue truck?
Blue truck?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, a blue truck up in Missouri. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, man. No, but it's good fun, man. Watching him just grow up. I mean, it's only been so short of a time, but I mean, your life just changes, sure, but it's really better. I just see a whole new outlook on life, except zero fear in a monster truck. I can't wait to get back to that. Some kind of normal. I'm ready for that.
You know, and the way that you did the gender reveal at a show was, I think, awesome. Like, you know, there's only been a few monster truck gender reveals, and yours, I think, is one of the coolest ones. Doing it in a stadium, in an arena, fans there, that was cool to watch.
Well, what I wanted to do was just put a bunch of balloons in there and stick it in the, you know, north end of the arena and walk out, moonwalk, and bust open the box and let the balloons, you know, come around the truck. I thought that would have been cool. But, you know, there was that, you know, one chance that I could roll over or something. I don't think it would have happened. But it was cool nonetheless. But maybe, you know, who knows, I'd have another gender reveal soon and be something really cool.
You never know.
Yeah. Like,
I've been for a while, but yeah.
Well, it's up in the air, folks. Tristan just said he could be another dad. So we'll find out sooner or later. You know,
I got to practice before that can even happen.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness. Well, so some of the, one question I always ask, and I thought it was pretty cool to ask it, was what was the coolest thing that you've crushed?
That I've crushed?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
A pile of dirt.
I mean, there's a lot of that. trying to think of something funny because I didn't do it. I think Kristen did. That's probably the funniest thing I've seen crush was the watermelon. I think you were there, weren't you? Dayton, Ohio.
Yeah,
I think they did that. Yeah, yeah. And Kravick. We were trying to get him to pick it up. That's probably the funniest thing, because Kravick's personality is pretty dry, but it's funny. It's there sometimes, you know. But trying to tell him how to do something is pretty hysterical.
So another question that we have on the podcast, going back to our early days, is what is your favorite kind of pie?
And I'm really not a sweet guy, but if I had to say anything, I guess it would be key lime pie.
Key lime pie, okay. I don't know where that ranks key lime on the list now, Cheech.
I just said screw it. Too many people right now, and the paper's getting all wrinkly and stuff, so and I'm going to take time. But as of right now, apple seems like the best one. But, you know, that's been a question since day one, and we've just been trying to mix it up and stuff like that. But before we let you go, is there anything you want to say to the fans that are watching and any shout outs and then any social media people can follow you at?
Hi, Mom. I made it. I guess I could shout out, you know, everybody that's been following Earthshaker since the start, man. It's been a wild ride for sure. And just everybody that helped me out along the way. You know, and it's been every single driver, honestly. I mean, we all want to help each other out. Like I said earlier, we all want to safety. We all want to see everybody be successful. Just when the helmets come on, it's a different story. And be safe. Everybody be safe. The stuff out here is wild. I'm not going to get political at all. But just be safe. Watch your back. And keep living. Keep striving to do better. Don't sell yourself short. Get out there. Be the breadwinner. If you think that you can't get a job right now, if you have enough time, just try your best to get in there, man. Want to work. Want to be better for your family. Want to be better for yourself. And I think I just did it right there. Give a shout out to little man. I'm about to probably go change his diaper, but what up, Crash?
All right, man. Thank you so much for being on, and also thank you for spending your time with us and hanging out.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. It was fun.
All right. Thanks, man.
So, folks, that was Tristan England, and that was pretty cool. Political talk, you know, he took his time out being doing his father duties and talking to us. But once again, I know there was other things going on today. I guess there was a second, if you guys go to the Scott Douglas Show, there's a round two, I guess, with Mike Wine, if anyone wants to watch that, and a couple others.
I think it's just a replay of last week's episode.
Was it?
Yeah, I think they do normally do a replay if they don't have a guest. And hey, shout out to Scott Douglas and what they're doing on Twitch. You know, go check some of this stuff out. You know, they're interviewing a lot of different people on there, and you know, go give them a follow and everything. I follow them on Twitch.
Now the thing with it is, every live episode is free to watch. Now, if you missed the episode and want to watch it again, you have to have the Twitch account, except for this Mike Wine one. But if you sign up for Amazon Prime, one of the benefits, since people may not know that Amazon owns Twitch, you could pick one of the Twitch subscribers and you get, you know, their, you know, kind of their tier, let's just say. And if you pick Scott Douglas, you get the tiers to watch all the program that you want with the free package through purchasing Amazon Prime. So that's one benefit. But yeah, he has different tiers. If you missed the episodes, go ahead and watch those, but you have to pay to watch the previous episodes. So if you want to watch a current one, this is an exception with the Mike Wine, but let's just say if Brad was on Wednesday and you missed Brad's episode, well, you have to pay to watch the episode again. So just to give you a heads up, if people got confused about, you know, oh, I'm not going to pay this and that, if you watch it live, if it's on currently, it's free. You can watch it free. But if you on a Friday night and you're like, oh, maybe I want to go back and watch, you know, the Mike Wine one, you have to pay. So,
and I will say this, there's a lot of other people on Twitch you should follow too. I'm huge into watching Twitch. I watch it daily. There's a lot of NASCAR racers that stream on there, and you know, go follow them, but you know, go see what Scott Douglas is doing and give them some support and stuff like that. You know, it's interesting to see who's all doing podcasts and stuff these days. You know, we've been doing it for like what, 6 years now, I think. It's officially 6 years that we've been doing this. You know, we started
and,
it in what,
2014? And also go watch the Monster Trucks of the West, Outlaws of the West on Fridays with Phil and Vincent. Give them some love, watch their stuff. They do a lot of they put a lot of work and effort for the geographical area that they want to go to. They could easily step over that and continue on, but you know, it's the way it is. It's no problem, but you know, what they have done is pretty cool. So give a shout out to them. And there's other people that are doing stuff too. You know, more love. Just keep on doing what you're doing. It's just, you know, we're just one big family, even though, you know, even family, sometimes we get on each other's nerves. That's the way it is. It is what it is. So, you know, it's exciting for that. And you know, for that's about it. I was going to thank all the sponsors that we're having here.
Well, Yeah. Might as well do that. So start off with Joey Sylvester and High Octane Coffee.
You take a look at Brad's left boob.
Yep. Check out what Joey's doing there. Doing some stuff with Nightmare Express, Gary Bauer's truck. So they're going to have probably a Bad Habit ride. Who knows what they're doing with that, but it's going to be awesome to see what they're doing with that. You know, you'll be able to take a ride with Joey Sylvester. We'd also like to thank Jay Concepts. Next week, we have Fred Reap and Jason Ruona coming on. I'm probably going to be a part of that one, even though I'm not really an RC guy. I'm going to join that one. You know, maybe learn a little bit and get, I'm trying to get into RCs. 6B Apparel, the shirt that I'm wearing right now.
That's all over his body.
And the old school shirts, $100 a pop. Either message me or Cheech or 6B directly if need be. If
refresh. No, that's why I always say, contact me or you. They can't sell. They can't sell product without our construction and our K. I'm sorry, Brad, but we gotta correct that. Okay, they can't go to 6B.
Thank you for letting me know that. We'd also like to thank JB Scale Graphics. They do RC graphics for teams like Bigfoot, Bad Habits, Against the Grain, Obsessed, Obsession,
Overkill,
Evolution, and many more teams. Go check them out. Jonathan Arnold was in our chat tonight. Much love to them. Also, Bradley Shaw Designs. I got to plug myself a little bit. I'm getting back at it. You know, things are starting to pick up for myself, and I'm getting back at the graphic game. So,
all right, well, hold on tight. It's gonna be a wild ride. Anyway, so like I said, it's for next week. Jason Rona and Fred Reap are gonna be on next week. So, like you said, and then we got some big things coming in the next couple weeks. So, I will release the next week's episode with Jason and Fred. I will release the week after that. But I also let you guys know about the USA roundtable meeting. So outside of that, sorry for the long-awaited start. We were waiting on Tristan to load up and stuff like that. So this is normally off time for us. We've been done maybe 15 minutes ago, or with this one probably 45 minutes ago. But the cool thing is we can get this one up on loaded. The one thing I was having issues is when I was loading up Scott Buto's, I had to pay like an extra gigabyte of memory so I could upload it. And I was about to do that. But then Brad, want to say thank you for stepping in and getting that audio in. That was good. Good job, brother.
We're a team.
So I think this one we can actually put on in. So we'll get this in as soon as we can. And so be on the lookout for that.
One quick thing, Drag Racing Podcast should be coming this week or next week. Like I said, I'm getting plans in motion to kind of get
Thursday, right?
Thursday. I don't know if we're going to be doing it live or not yet. I'm still trying to plan that out. If it's just going to be an audio one or a live version like this.
Are you doing a review?
Yeah. So what? I'll give you guys an idea of what we're doing. So my favorite era of drag racing is the 1990s. I'm a huge fan of the 1990s of NHRA drag racing. So what my plan is, every month we're going to be going through a year of NHRA. So starting next month is what my plan is in February. We're going to be looking over the 1990 season. So every episode is going to be a different class. So the first episode may be Pro Stock. The next episode may be Funny Car. The next episode may be Top Field Dragster. And I'm going to, you know, talk to Brian Loans and have him on some of the episodes and maybe get some guests that were around in that time period. You know, it's a passion project of mine as well. You know, I love drag racing and monster trucks, but drag racing was my first, you know, love, the thing that got me hooked into motorsports. So it's going to be awesome. If you guys are interested, you know, let me know. I'm doing it no matter what. So I'm debating if it's going to be an audio version or if we're going to be doing audio and video. So if you guys are interested in a video one, please let me know. It's going to be called the Reaction Time Podcast. It's going to be part of the Crush This family, but it's going to be called the Reaction Time Podcast. So let me know if you guys want an audio, a video version. And if you want a video version, we'll do that. But if not, then it'll just be an audio version. So I'm excited to do it. You know, like I said, drag racing is another one of my passions. And I'm excited to look back at the best, you know, era of drag racing, which is the 1990s.
Yeah, I agree. 90s, I think, I'll be honest with you, I think 90s was the best in any type of racing. Oh, I personally thought 90s and monster trucks, I thought the 90s and NASCAR was the best. I thought in sprint cars, 90s were the best. Well, then
Steve Kinzer, maybe.
I mean, sprint car racing's always been good, but the 90s seemed like a good, you know, you saw all sorts of the 90s introduced me to lawnmower tractor racing, swamp buggy racing. Yes. You know, the American Sports Cavalcade was, you know, demo derby and tractor pulling and mud racing and everything in the 90s I thought was awesome. I think 90s was the best decade ever. But
100%, except NHRA in 92 when John Force lost the championship. I'm still bitter.
You need to grow up. Move on, Brad.
I'm just messing, but hey.
You know how much pain it felt seeing Dale Jarrett get beat by Jeff Gordon by only 14 points in the 1997 championship? It hurts really, really bad. But you know what? He won the 99, and he got over it. He won one championship. The driver that you like won 16. So, that's okay, Brad. Missing the 92 championship, that's perfectly fine for the rest of what he did and the rest of his career.
True, true. I just think, you know, if he won every single championship from 1990 to 1999 or 2000, it would have been so epic. That's
how
just
many championships did you win in 90?
He won his first championship in 1990, 91, lost it in 92, 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, 2000. 2001, he went on a tear, but 92 was the only championship he lost up until the 2000s. Then in the 2000s, you had so many different winners of the championship, but in the 1990s, you could not stop John Force, except in 92 when he just had a string of bad luck and Cruz Pedregon won five in a row.
Yeah, but Cruz deserved it. Cruz is a good guy in general.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. But like I said, so what's the review? Nothing really to review. Next week, J Concepts, Jason Moreno, Fred Rape, RC Solid Axle Monster Truck Talk. We're going to have some Brad, maybe teach him some stuff, and maybe he can come in and get himself one. That'd be pretty cool. But Brad, I am done. You want to do your finish here? It seems like now a lot of people are doing our last line here. Josh's Monster Truck Review, and Nathan from NKS Productions says it too. So, I think we started a trend. We're having no problems. You guys go right ahead and say that. That's perfectly fine. If anyone else has a podcast and wants to use the line, go right ahead. But just to let you know, thank you. Thank you for doing that because we all know you did it. Not me. Yes. Him. Nope.
All right, everybody. As we always like to say, I'll crush this. And next week, make sure you tune in. Jason Ruin and Fred Reed from J Concepts. USA Roundtable coming soon. And as we always say here, everybody, keep the rubber side down and the shiny side up. Peace out.
Bye.